Tom Carkowin, the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, supposed to be partly cloudy with a chance for scattered showers or thunderstorms, high near the mid-80s. Kenosha right now, 70 degrees. It's 72 in Burlington. In Milwaukee, 73, also 72 degrees in Racine. There's more traction today to reports that Kenosha and Racine counties are possibly in play for the multi-billion dollar electronics assembly plant being proposed by a Taiwanese company called Foxconn, all because President Trump in his Milwaukee Waukesha appearance made reference to the governor getting a very happy surprise very soon. Story first circulated by the Milwaukee Business Journal, then expanded by WRJN News, among others, based on a closed-door meeting of Racine County board members Tuesday evening, as Foxconn looking for about a 1,000-acre site based on a request for proposal circulated a month ago. Interim Pleasant Prairie Village Administrator Thomas Scherzel says that there's also a second parcel request for about 400 acres, but he says even they don't have that kind of landmass available. By comparison, Kenosha's former Chrysler engine plant encompassed 109 acres. Helping fuel the speculation locally, the rare closed-door Racine County Board Committee of the Whole meeting Tuesday on what was listed on the agenda only as the investment of public funds regarding competitive multi-site economic development opportunities. Racine County Economic Development Corporation Executive Director Jenny Trick and Mount Pleasant Village Board President Dave DeGroot were both part of that discussion. DeGroot also observed at Mitchell Airport greeting President Trump. The Associated Press reports Foxconn is talking to officials in both Wisconsin and Michigan. Crane's Detroit business indicates it's a $4.2 billion assembly plant they'd like to put in Detroit that could employ up to 5,000 people. Members of the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative meeting in Montreal, re-emphasizing the increased role of cities in the fight against climate change in the wake of the Trump administration backing out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement. WRJN's Janet Hoff reports.
The administration decided against cutting the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative for the rest of the year, although outgoing initiative chair Dennis Coderre said they must continue the battle for 2018 and beyond. According to a news release, the mayors will also ask the Canadian government to develop a more comprehensive strategy and framework for Great Lakes and St. Lawrence funding, given the waterways are a shared responsibility. Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian, who was attending this week's conference, noted Lake Michigan is important to Kenosha for both drinking water and tourism, and the city is committed to working toward protection and restoration of the lakes and seaway. Racine Mayor John Dickert, who will take over as the next president and CEO of the initiative at an as-yet undetermined date, said this is not a time for complacency because ensuring clean and safe water is, quote, our responsibility to our children and future generations. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Well, it appears the city of Racine is going to continue a contract for recycling services with John's Disposal through a five-year extension. The Public Works and Services Committee told by Commissioner Mark Yalen that some additional language in the contract will benefit the city in the long run should conditions change.
From time to time, there may be changes in technology in the market. We're looking to give us the flexibility if some other we had another opportunity down the road that we, as I say, that we would have changes to the contract termination clause where we would be able to terminate that contract early.
Common Council next Tuesday expected to approve the committee's recommendation. With funding having been approved by the Racine Council on an emergency basis, the annual youth summer work camp run through Neighborhood Watch set to begin this Sunday and last until June 23rd. Almost 350 young adults ages 14 to 19 and their adult leaders coming to Racine from across the country to offer home repairs and maintenance for about four dozen select families in the uptown area. Neighborhood Watch Director Charlie French pointing out that this is the 19th year of doing summer work camp, and these young people pay to come do this. And the Academies of Racine, launched last fall by Racine Unified, is designed to provide the high school students of the community chances to explore their career opportunities, experience hands-on learning, and get ready for their futures. Part of all this, Park High School Tech Ed students built a tiny home that they wanted to donate to Veterans Outreach of Wisconsin, which they did yesterday. Students, Park staffers, Superintendent Lolly Hawes, VFOW Representative Jeff Gustin, all on hand for the gathering. Teacher Joe Pascucci says this project had several goals.
The point of the project was to help out someone in need in our community, help the kids make a connection with Racine, build character, and help them gain some skills that they could use towards future employment.
The tiny home to be one of 15 at a facility being built for homeless veterans in the area. The teenager shot by a Kenosha police officer Friday evening last week, now facing charges. 19-year-old Corey Cooper accused Thursday of intentionally pointing a firearm at a law enforcement officer. That's a felony. And misdemeanor counts of obstructing and bail jumping. He's scheduled for an initial appearance this afternoon in Kenosha Intake Court. Police also releasing the name of the officer. According to a release, Officer Alex Wicketts, a six-year veteran of the department, responded to that weapons complaint in the 5000 block of 39th Avenue, spotted a person matching the description of the suspect, tried to make contact, the suspect ran. Officer encountered then the suspect, allegedly armed with a gun. He fired his weapon. Cooper struck in the lower back. State Division of Criminal Investigation checking out the shooting incident. It's being called a random act of violence by someone with no connection to the Pleasant Prairie Senior Center, where 33-year-old Brian Palmer allegedly attacked a woman in an elevator as she was going to visit her mother. Bond is $100,000 for the man from Pleasant Prairie, whom police say broke a glass door to gain entry. National Transportation Safety Board is going to be investigating the cause of that commercial blimp going down in an open field less than a half a mile away from the site of the U.S. Open Golf Championship at Erin Hills. Reporter Mike Heller said it did not impact the tournament.
There was no delay, no hiccup, no suspension of play. They did nothing where, you know, I don't know the players were even aware.
The blimp is not associated with the event or with Fox Broadcasting. The pilot suffering some serious burns, reports in Citizen phone video showing black smoke from where the blimp went down. Sturtevant's Community Development Authority recommends that the village buy the former U.S. Bank building property at Durant Avenue and Wisconsin Street. No plans for it, but it does fall within the village's new tax incremental district. DCA Chair Sean Weiss says that he feels that the property is vital to revitalizing that corridor.
I think it's a key piece of the development for the village coming in. And I think for us to control it gives us the option to decide what's going to go in there. Otherwise, somebody else comes in and swoops it up. They can put whatever the heck they want in that place, and only the Planning Commission can say yay or nay at that point.
Since the TIF is new, Village Administrator Mary Cole also recommends the village apply for an $800,000 loan from the State Trust Fund for proposed projects within the district, even though the TIF has not yet generated much revenue. Recommendation will be going to the full Sturtevant Board for approval. Festival Hall in Racine still targeted to get a permanent outdoor stage, thanks to a $100,000 donation by the Rotary Foundation. The project, though, now carries a total price tag of just over $250,000 because of what's known as a change order for some additional work that's needed. At the Public Works Committee meeting, it was Assistant DPW Commissioner Tom Eag noting there's some other projects that came up lower than expected on cost. That left some extra money. Civic Center Manager Amanda Gain noted a few of their capital budget item needs this year. Those have changed, and that will allow the use of those dollars. But Alderman Sandy Widener raised concerns about using budgeted money for other than the intended purpose.
The budget is more than a guide. And we can't over-budget one area so that we can take money from that area and put it to other use. We had anticipated spending $150,000 on the stage. We're up to $250,000. This is the first change order, and I do have some real concerns about that. So I don't object to the change order number one. I do object to that we think because we don't spend money that we debt-financed for one project that we can just transfer it over to another.
The Public Works panel did unanimously support the change order on the Festival Hall outdoor stage contract with Absolute Construction, sending it on to the Common Council. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section of it. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.